It is so very good to see everybody that is here this morning. I know that this coming week is finals week at Harding, and so that means a lot of our students from Harding are going to be gone after this week. We do want you to know that when you are here, you are a great blessing to us, and that when you leave, you actually do leave a hole. I'm not talking about physically. I'm talking about in our hearts. We do care about you. We love you, and we're going to miss you when you are gone. We hope that you have a good summer, and Lord willing, we'll have several of you back again next year. My sermon this morning is about something we Americans really, really like, and that is entertainment. And what we're going to be doing, though, is we're going to be looking into the realm of entertainment this morning and possibly tonight. I know if you look at the outline, there's a lot there. And so I'm just going to tell you right up front, I'm going to be preaching this sermon by ear. If I see that I've got plenty of time to finish the entire sermon, I'll do so. If I realize, wait a minute, I'm going to be preaching for an hour and a half, guess what? I'll stop it in the middle and preach the rest of it tonight. But let's go now into the body of the sermon here at the very beginning. The opening verse is 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 23. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. All things that are lawful, that means in and of itself that if you participate in it, if you do it, it's not sinful. However, there are activities that you are allowed to do, that you can do, that in and of themselves are not sinful, but it doesn't mean they're helpful. It doesn't mean they edify you spiritually. I give you examples. I really like football. And if I allowed myself, I could become very overwhelmed by football to where it's all I wanted to watch, all I wanted to listen to, all I wanted to do. There are all kinds of entertainments that I enjoy doing. I enjoy playing cards. I enjoy playing backgammon, chess. I like strategy games. And so there are activities that we are allowed to do. And in and of themselves, they are not sinful. But I'll be quite frank with you. I have never been spiritually edified by a football game. I have never drawn closer to God by playing hearts or spades. These things, they're kind of neutral. They don't hurt you spiritually, but they don't help you spiritually. They don't edify you. They don't build you up. And so you need to realize there are realms of entertainment that we as Christians can participate in, that we can do, that they are not sinful, but quite frankly, they don't draw you closer to God. They don't build you up. Going back to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 now in verse 12, it says, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Notice again, he talks about how all things, that they're not all things are helpful, but he says here's something else, and that is, I will not be brought under the power of any. My wife figured out I had a problem with football as a newlywed. When it was Saturday morning, and I said, honey, I really need to watch this game. It's one of the most important games of the year. And you know how long football games last, 2 or 3 hours. And after about 3 hours of watching that game, another game came on. I said, oh, Linda, oh, this is one of the most important games of the year. I really need to watch this game. And so 3 more hours of football. And yes, after that game was over, another came on. I said, oh, wow, Linda, this is really one of the most important games of the year. I really need to watch this one too. And that was when she figured out, you got a problem. And my problem was football. I was raised with football. You come in my office, you'll figure out real quick I'm a big football fan. But you need to realize something that may be permitted to do that is not sinful, that's lawful for you to do it, that really doesn't edify you, really doesn't help you spiritually, you can become overcome by it and brought under the power of it. There are multitudes of forms of entertainment that we are permitted to do as Christians. However, you can be brought under the power of any of them to where you become consumed by them. I know of people that I fear become consumed by hunting or fishing or just watching television. I mean, how many of you have known someone, possibly yourself, and when you come in, the first thing you do is you pick up the remote and turn on the television. Boom. And then you sit there, and have you ever done this? Boom, 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 boom. If you're surfing, trying to find anything remotely interesting on the television to watch. If you would have told me 10 years ago I'd be watching people cooking, I would not believe you. And yet, that's what we're watching because it's interesting. It's something important. Okay, I want to watch people buy things. Okay. But you need to realize that you can be brought under the power of television to where it's basically all you're doing. With all of your free time, you're not reading God's word. You're not spending time with your family. You're not spending time with your brother. You're not doing the work of the kingdom. You're not doing anything but watching television. You can do the same thing with video games. I'll tell you how old I am. The first video game I ever played was Pong. Yeah, bonk, bonk. It was very slow. But in my time, it was big. But now the video games, boy, they are amazing. And people go into this world of video games, and it becomes their alternate life. And in many instances, it becomes their life to where it's all they want to do. Wherever you come in, the first thing you do is you go into it and you start playing it and you play and you play and you play and you play and it's all you do. I have known of people who have had serious marital problems because of video games. I know of people who, because of video games, they basically have to drop out of school because it's all they want to do is play video games, and they don't go to class, they don't study, they haven't got time for anything else because they got to play the video game. And so you need to realize this. You can be brought under the power of video games to where it's all you're doing. And now it has gone from being something that is not just simply harmless to being harmful to being sinful. To where now you're brought under the power of it, and it is keeping you from living your life as a Christian should. It's standing in the way of you being a good father or a good husband. It's standing in the way of you being a good wife or a good mother or a good Christian. To where we're putting our entertainment over God. I'm telling you, folks, when I see people and they're saying, well, we're not going to be at worship services because we're going to a softball tournament or a baseball tournament or a football tournament or a basketball tournament or we're going fishing or we're going hunting or we're going dancing. You're putting your entertainment over God and now it's sin. Stop it. Learn to recognize when you're being brought under the power of anything to where it's all you want to do and you're spending all your time there because now it has become sinful and destructive. John 17:5, the Lord tells us where all of us actually are in this world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. In the text here, the Lord Jesus explains the reality of where we live. We live in the world. And as I told you, we live in a world where, in America, we are consumed with entertainment. Every waking hour, every free hour is me time. And every second we can, we want to entertain ourselves and want to do something that's fun. We need to be careful, though, that we don't get pulled into entertainment that is sinful. There is entertainment out there that is not lawful, that is not permitted to those of us that are Christians, that in and of itself is sinful, and we need to be aware of it and not participate in it. Going back to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 17 through 18, he says, therefore come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I got a question for you from this verse. To what degree do you think the Lord expects of us in our sanctification as Christians? And if you don't know, that's what this is being describing here, is sanctification. Come out from among them, talking about the world. Touch not the unclean thing. To what degree is our sanctification as Christians supposed to be? The answer is total. Do not get pulled into the world at all. recognize the standards of the world and that the world has given themselves over to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That is the way of the world. We are to have nothing to do with it. Not even touch it. And that includes our realms of entertainment. 1 Peter chapter 1, 14 through 15. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust, as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. The Lord wants us to be holy, because he's holy. But when you look at the world in 1 Peter chapter 4, 2 through 5, that you no longer should live the rest of the time of your in the flesh for the lust of men, but is the will of God. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In regard to these things, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. And notice what I've got here on the overhead. They think it's strange that you don't run with them. People out in the world who are not Christians, they have no problem with going into sin. They have no problem with walking in darkness and walking in sin. It is their lifestyle, and that is the world we're living in. We are living in a world where those who are not Christians are walking in darkness. They're walking in sin. And he gives examples of it here, how at one time in your past life, you were involved in lasciviousness and lewdness. You were involved in drinking parties and drunkenness. You were going down to the temples and worshiping the idols with your friends. And now when you won't do it, I think you're kind of strange. Something's wrong with you. You won't do this with them. And herein lies the battle that every single one of us who are Christians are facing in our culture and our world in this time. And that is, are we going to get pulled into the world and their standards of morality? Are we going to get pulled into the world and their types of entertainment? Recognizing that they have no problems with sexual immorality. They have no problems with vulgarity. They have no problems with pornography. They have no problems with drugs recreationally being used. They have no problems with alcohol and drinking parties. That's the way of the world. That's their entertainment. And you know this is the struggle all of us are facing, and that is, are we going to go into their world and participate and share in their entertainment? Ephesians 5, 11 through 12. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Let's stop right there. Earlier I read to you from over in 2 Corinthians, where he says, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean. I talked to you earlier about touching something that's unclean. What does it mean when God says, don't touch it? It means, don't touch it. And yet sometimes we come along with the world, and here it is, and we're kind of looking at it, and we go, okay, I touched it. Hey, the world didn't come crashing down. My life seems to be okay. I don't really see what the big deal is. And so you come back to it again, and oh, what's the big deal about? It's not that bad. I went into it for a little while. There's nothing wrong with it. And so let's dive in. We go into it a little, and then a little more, and a little more, and a little more, and a little more, and you're in the very middle of it, and it's got you. We go into it in increments, little by little, and we get pulled into it. And we compromise our values. And we compromise our standards. Go back to the Ephesian text. Have no fellowship. Again, I ask you, to what degree is our sanctification? The answer is total. No fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Don't even touch it. Stay away from it completely. But look at the next verse, verse 12. for it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. There are people out in the world that are living in sin, behind closed doors, behind closed walls, in darkness, alone. They're participating in sin. The Lord says they're doing it in secret. And he says, it's a shame to even, look at this, talk about it. If it is a shame to talk about the sins that people are participating in the privacy of their homes, is it a shame, and listen real close, to watch it on television, in your movies, in your video games, in your magazines, in your books? Is it shameful to read about it and watch it? The answer is obviously yes. There is television out there that you're permitted to watch that is not sinful. It doesn't really draw you closer to God. I like Andy Griffith. And even though there may be some nice lessons in there, Andy Griffith never got me closer to God. And even though I like football, it never drove me closer to God. It never helped me become a better Christian. Even though I enjoy beating you in spades, it never got me closer to God. Okay? But there's forms of entertainment that in and of themselves are sinful. And we are to have absolutely nothing to do with it. Do not watch it. Do not participate in it. Do not share in it in any way, because it is pulling you into the world. Psalm says in 101 and verse 3, I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I want to go back and read the entire verse here. I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. Setting things that are wicked before your eyes. If you want to watch the Andy Griffith show, you got to go to replays. Because most of the television that's out there now, unless it's the Cooking Channel, a History Channel, most of it's absolutely vulgar, and you know that. The movies, they're getting more and more vulgar. And you're having homosexuality basically rubbed in your face and pushed in your face through television, in the movies, and even in school. You're being indoctrinated to accept homosexuality. And you need to realize the world is never going to get you to a point in place and say, okay, you can stop here. This is as far as we're going in sin, okay? We're not going any further. You know that's not the case. Once they get you comfortable with homosexuality, you already know what the next step is, because they're already going there, and that's pedophiles. And they're already pushing it on you. You need to realize the world never stops getting darker. And it's trying to pull you into it. It's trying to get you to accept it. It's trying to get you to watch it and become it. Have no fellowship with it. Do not set things that are wicked before your eyes. I read the newspaper from Harding campus here a couple of weeks ago. Great articles in it. And what the whole newspaper was about was the struggles and the problems the students are facing in their life. And it was all about addiction. Addiction to video games and addiction to pornography. Pornography is the great battle of our age, and we need to wake up and see it and recognize it for what it is. 79% of Americans, male and female, are watching pornography on a regular basis. It is the battle of our time. And young men and young women in the body of Christ are getting pulled into this world through their iPhones, through their smart pad, through their computers. You give your children a phone and you give them freedom to work with it, you better look out if you don't put blocks on it. Do you understand the common age and the first age that you find people in America today going into pornography is from 8 to 11. From 8 to 11. And by the time they're 15, many of them are addicts already. And the more you go into that world, the deeper you go into the perversions of it. That is the battle we are facing. If you cannot get control of your television and Satan is coming through it, get rid of it. I do not preach what I am not willing to practice. There's not a television in my house, and there hasn't been there one there for 22 years, and there's a reason, because I would go to hell if I kept it. I kept going to God praying over and over and over again because I was setting things that were wicked before my eyes. And I finally realized the only way I'm going to defeat this is to get it out. And the day I got it out, I felt wonderful because I felt like I closed the door to Satan coming into my house. If you cannot get control of your iPhone and your smart pads and your computers, get rid of them. Get rid of them. And I mean that, get rid of them. You can use a flip phone. You can survive without a computer. I know it may be tough, but yes, you can survive without a computer. I did it for a long time before they ever existed. You can still survive without a computer. If you cannot get control of it, get rid of it. Matthew 5:28. I want to read from the outline again. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. And then going over to Job 31 and verse 1. I have made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I look upon a young woman? Make a covenant with your eyes and say, no more. I'm going to stand my ground. I'm going to start fighting against this. Because if you don't, it clings to your thoughts. It clings to your mind. And it totally poisons the way you view women and men and the sexual relationship completely. Get control of your screens. Do not allow the entertainment of the world to overcome you and overwhelm you and destroy your heart and your relationship with God. And now I want to talk in the last part of the sermon about the way you dress. Going back to the outline in 1 Timothy chapter 2, 9 through 10. In like manner also that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing, but which is proper for women professing godliness with good works. Here he talks about the women adorning themselves, Christian women adorning themselves, modest apparel with propriety. And he says, it's the proper way that women profess godliness, dress themselves. And you go to Proverbs 7 and verse 10. He says, and there a woman met him with the attire of a harlot and a crafty heart. What is the attire of a harlot, a prostitute? That is clothes that women are wearing that they are advertising where they are morally. Your clothes you were wearing say something about you and your moral standards. To the point to where if you are an extremely immoral woman and you are a prostitute, your clothes are advertising that. To where you haven't got to say a word, the way you are dressed is saying everything. You need to realize that the way of the world when it comes to the way you dress is the same way as the way of the world when it comes to their entertainment. And what is happening is the pornification of the American culture, to where you are being taught that it's okay basically to dress like prostitutes. I've told y'all this story before, but I'll tell you again. Years ago, when Jennifer turned 13, we were living down in Texas. We were going to get her a nice dress for her birthday. And so we went to JCPenney's. And JCPenney's, they had mini skirts. And they were made of T-shirt material that clings to the body. And they had slits up the sides with spaghetti straps. Come on! She's 13 years old! And we went through, and that was, all of the dresses were that way. And so I said, okay, looks like we got to spend some more money. So we went to Dillard's. And we went to Dillard's, and guess what? They were all the same way at Dillard's. And so we finally went across the street to what is called Macy's today. And we went in there, and I was going down the racks, and they were all the same thing. And finally, a lady came up to me. She says, "Can I help you?" And I said, "Have you got any clothes that won't make my 13-year-old girl look like a prostitute?" And she said, "Yes, we got one Easter dress back here in the back." Okay, that's the way of the world. We are to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Do not touch it. Come out from among them. No fellowship at all. We know the way the world dresses is to provoke sexual attention, to get you to think sexually. Do not dress like the world. Do not dress like prostitutes. Learn to recognize the way of the world when it comes even to clothing. I want to go to Proverbs 5. Turn the page over. Actually, I want to go to the outline. There's a verse on the outline before I go to Proverbs 5. I added this verse. So, Coach, make notes about that. I add this verse because it's a really good verse. Proverbs 20, verse 26 from the outline. "Nor shall you go up by steps to my altar, that your nakedness may not be exposed on it." What on earth is this verse talking about? I'll explain it to you. God did not want there to be stairs on the way to the altar where people were going to be going to worship God. You know why? Because if you don't know, there's men and women in the ancient world wore tunics. And tunics basically are dresses, okay? And he didn't want someone coming to worship God and they're going up the stairs and in front of them is somebody wearing basically a dress and you're looking up the dress and you're seeing their nakedness. Your purpose is to come to worship God, but on the way to worship God, to get forgiveness of your sins, you find yourself sinning. God doesn't want people struggling with sin when their purpose is coming to worship him to seek forgiveness of sin. Now, the lesson I'm going to try to bring from that for us today is, ladies, please hear me on this. Do not dress in a way that is going to provoke sexual thoughts in the hearts of your brothers in Christ when they're coming to worship God. You know, I haven't preached on this for a while. You know why? Because, quite frankly, I hadn't felt like I needed to. Speaking to you as a man and as a brother, thank you. Thank you for carrying yourselves as Christian women. Thank you for expressing in the way you dress that you are Christians and you are holding to the morality of Christians. And you're not going into the way of the world and dressing like they dress. Now I go to Proverbs 5, 15 through 20. I'm reading from the outline on this one. "Drink water from your own cistern, running water from your own well. Should your springs overflow in the streets, your streams of water in the public squares." All right, you may be thinking, what on earth is this proverb talking about? It is talking about your wife's and your daughter's bodies and whether or not they are being shared with the public. You do not share your spouse's body with the public for public viewing and sharing. Let me go deeper into the verse and you'll understand it. Verse 17. "Let them be yours alone." Yours alone means, husbands, your wife's body is yours alone. Your eyes only and nobody else. Never to be shared with strangers. Now listen real close to me here. Men, I'm talking to all of you. Whether you're a husband or not, I'm talking to husbands, I'm talking to sons, I'm talking to brothers, I'm talking to every man in this audience. Tell your mothers and your sisters and your wives the truth about men. Tell them the truth of the way we think. Tell them the truth of the way we find ourselves struggling sexually with our thoughts. And men and husbands, take the leadership of your family. I remember one time I was talking to a man about the way his daughters were dressed. He says, well, that's my wife doing this. All right. You know what I told him? Man up. And take the leadership of your family and tell your wife and your daughters the truth. They are for your eyes only. Let them be yours alone, never to be shared with strangers. Ladies, let me tell you this. Do not show your breast and your bottoms to anyone but your husband in the way you're dressing. And again, if I embarrass you with that, I'm trying to explain to you what the scriptures are talking about. They are for your eyes only of the husband, never to be shared with anyone else, visually in any way. Going back to the text of Proverbs 5. I'm reading again, starting in verse 18. May your fountain be blessed, and may you rejoice in the wife of your youth, a loving doe, a graceful deer. May her breast satisfy you always. May you ever be captivated by her love. Why be captivated, my son, by an adulteress? Why embrace the bosom of another man's wife? What this text is trying to teach you is that such a relationship is only meant to be between husband and wife alone. Women, do not show your body to anyone but your husband. And please do not think, well, I can dress this way and it's not really affecting them spiritually. It's a lie. And it is not the truth. And one of the congregations back in Texas, one of the preachers there told me the story of where the brethren, the men, were coming to him and they were begging him to preach on this subject because the way the women were dressing, they were coming to worship God and they find themselves struggling with temptation and sin while they're there to seek forgiveness of sin. Again, as your brother in Christ, ladies, thank you, thank you, thank you for dressing as Christian women. Do not dress like the world. Do not dress like prostitutes. Do not share your body visually for the rest of the world to see. And now I want to go over to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. He says, beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. What do you get from the word abstain? Kind of sounds like, don't touch it, doesn't it? Kind of sounds like, have no fellowship with it, doesn't it? And so when he says abstain from it, that's the degree to which we are to sanctify ourselves and be holy. And what we're setting before our eyes and what we're allowing ourselves to dress like, because in doing so, if we do not abstain from fleshly lust, it's going to war against our soul. There's a war taking place and we're all in this war. And the battleground is our hearts and our minds. And the world is trying to bring you into the darkness and the sins of the world through what you're setting before your eyes and taking into your mind to where you're becoming more and more carnally minded. And it's growing and the fire is growing stronger until eventually it enrages and completely consumes you. And you become overcome by it. There's the war, okay? You're going to lose battles, okay? Be honest. We're going to lose battles. You must not lose the war. Because if you lose the war, you lose what this war is all about. The spoils of the war is your soul's eternal destiny. And if you lose this war, you lose your soul. Get up and fight. Fight the good fight of faith. Get control of what you're taking into your mind, through your eyes and your ears. Do not participate in the entertainment of the world. that is taking you and the world deeper and deeper into darkness. I have a definition here of lasciviousness. That's a good Old Testament King James and New Testament King James word, lasciviousness. When was the last time you used that in an everyday conversation? We don't. It's Middle English. But here's the definition of the word from Thayer's. Wanton acts or manners, as filthy words, indecent bodily movements, unchaste handling of males and females. You may be wondering where I'm going with this in the close of the sermon. Unchaste handling of males and females. Indecent bodily movements. You can move your body in such a way as it incites and excites sexual thoughts. The modern day dances that they're teaching kids to do is nothing but stripper moves, which are meant to excite sexual thoughts. I will tell you that there is dancing that is not sinful. You know, it talks about in the scriptures how Herodias' daughter danced before Herod and his guest, and it pleased him. She wasn't clogging. She wasn't tap dancing. She was dancing in such a way to excite him and the others that were watching. You know this is the case. There are bodily movements that are done in dance that are expressly done to excite the person who is viewing it sexually. Don't go there. Don't share in it. Don't touch it. If you know it's going to be somewhere, don't go there. Just bring it to the horn to where the rubber meets the road. Don't go to prom. You may dress modestly, but half the other women there are dressed like prostitutes. And they're not going to be doing tap dancing and clogging. They're going to be dancing in ways specifically to excite sexual desire. And it's basically understood also that that night there's going to be a lot of drinking and sex. You have no business in that environment, so get away from it. Don't touch it. Have no fellowship with it. That's where the rubber meets the road. Get control of the entertainment that you're participating in. First, do not become overwhelmed by things that are lawful, that are permitted, that are not sinful. Do not become overwhelmed by any activity where it's hunting, fishing, football, cards, video games, pick any of them. Do not let it overwhelm you to where you become enslaved to it, to where it's all you want to do, because then it does become sinful. But there are forms of entertainment that we as Christians should not even touch it, talk about it, have any fellowship with it, and abstain from it. You know that's the case. I haven't told you anything, hopefully, you don't already know. I'm just blowing the trumpet to wake you up to the reality of the battle that we are facing. As I've told you, pornography is the battle of our time. And there are multitudes of men and women in the body of Christ that I fear will lose their soul because they're going into that world and it is totally poisoning their heart and their mind. And if they do not stand up and start fighting the battle and learn to stand their ground against the temptations and the attacks of Satan, I'm afraid they will lose the war and lose their soul. And so I'm going to go to the second half of the sermon tonight. Aren't you glad? Because I don't want to go through it like an auctioneer. Get control of your entertainment. Do not let it cause you to go into sin in any way. Tonight we're going to be talking about, if you come back, gambling and drugs and alcohol. But this morning we'll stop right here. If there's anybody, though, that's not a member of the one body, and you honestly believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, if you're willing to openly confess your faith and motivated by your faith, make the great commitment of repentance, and it is a big commitment, because you're committing yourself now by faith to follow the commands of God in your life till you die. If you're willing to make the commitment of repentance, we'll be glad to assist you and baptize you into the one body for the remission of your sins. If you're a child of God and there's sin between you and God that needs to be dealt with, deal with it and deal with it now. Take it to our God. He is gracious. He is merciful. He's willing to forgive. We'll pray for you. We'll pray with you. We are here to help you fight your battles. If you're struggling in these battles and you need someone beside you in the trenches, listen real close. I volunteer. I will come into the trenches beside you. I will help you fight your battles. I will not leave your side. And I will do everything I can to help you stand your ground in the future and fight against the attacks and temptations of Satan in your life, to where not only do you stand your ground, but hopefully you will learn how to resist on your own and then finish your race in Christ. If you're subject to the gospel call in any way, let us know while we stand and sing the song that Jay has selected.